If you will, open your Bibles to John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. It's probably a familiar passage to you. It's not anything new. We know there's nothing new under the sun, but probably not a new passage to read. But John chapter number 6, where Jesus is feeding the 5,000, and it is a very interesting passage. I was reading this chapter one day in my devotions, and I just noticed something that jumped out of the page. You ever do that? You read through and you've read a passage who knows how many times, and all of a sudden just something jumps out at you and the Holy Spirit speaks to you in a way. And I was reading through here, and I guess my mind was on, we were traveling, my mind was on missions on Fiji and reaching the people there and different things along those lines. And my thought process just kind of went along with this chapter and what Jesus was trying to do here with His disciples and with feeding of the 5,000 and all the events going on in this chapter. And we don't have time tonight to go through the history of what all was going on and what Jesus was doing here. But let's just read from verse 1 down to verse number 13, and then we'll look at a few things tonight. It says here, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed Him, because they saw His miracles which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they would. And when they were filled, He said unto the disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Let's pray, and then we'll get into the Word of God here. Lord, thank You for today. Thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house tonight, Lord. And so many things could go on tonight that could distract our minds and our thoughts. But I pray, Lord, that You'll help us to be focused on You and what You'd have us learn from Your Word. And we ask these things in Your name. Amen. When I was reading through here, I started reading through the chapter just as anything else. And I was getting down to verse number 5, and I saw, it said there, when Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him. And I got to thinking about Jesus here, and as He was looking at the people, He saw a need. He saw a need for the people. And I thought about this, if you want to title the message, A Heart for People. A Heart for People. I see Jesus' heart for people here. And not just for the multitude of people that were standing there, but also for the disciples. If you notice as we go through this, what He does with them, and what's going on here, but also we see another. You see the multitude, you see the disciples, and then you see this young lad. And so many times as we read through this, we may just kind of skim over that and say the lad had the 5 barley loaves and the fish, and we go on. A lot of times we use it in the Sunday school lesson to illustrate something for the kids that they can do and serve God, and it's a great thing. And I noticed this lad; he just kind of jumped out of the page at me. And I got to thinking about him. Who was he? Where did he come from? What was he doing there? Out of 5,000 men, how did they find him? And we know God's in control of all these things and brings these things around. And we understand that. But in my mind, in when you're traveling down the road and you have 12 hours of driving, that's a lot of windshield time, your mind starts wondering. And so I was wondering, where did this lad come from? How did he get about? And so I kind of, just some thoughts went through my mind. This is most of this is just going to be my ideas, so don't go and say, well, the Bible said that, and Brother Robbie said it did. But this is just some ideas that I thought about. When I thought about this lad, I noticed verse 1 of the chapter. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee. I thought, I wonder if this boy was down there fishing in the Sea of Galilee when Jesus came over. If you remember, some of the disciples, they were fishermen. In fact, if I remember right, Andrew was a fisherman. And I think he fished on the Sea of Galilee, and I thought, I wonder if Andrew knew this boy. And I was thinking about it while we were on our survey trip in Fiji. We were sitting out one evening after we had gone around one of the islands, and my wife and I were sitting there talking about it, and I looked down the shoreline, and as I looked down it, there's a whole group of people just standing out there about waist deep, and you can see they were fishing. And I got to thinking, I wonder why they're all out there fishing. It just kind of seemed odd to me. You know, if you saw one or two guys out there, okay, that makes a little sense. But I saw a lot of people, probably as many people as are here tonight, I saw out there about waist deep panline fishing. I thought, I wonder what they're doing. And as I watched them, it dawned on me, that's how they eat. On these little islands, there's not a lot of groceries. They don't have a lot of income coming in. They live day to day. As we talked to some of the nationals, we began to realize that about these smaller islands. They just live day to day. They're not worried about tomorrow. They live day to day. And so I thought, they're out there fishing, gathering their food. And I was reading through this and I thought about that little lad doing the same thing. He was on the shoreline fishing for his food for that day. Maybe he was there gathering this together and getting it all together. And as he was standing there, he saw Jesus come over with the disciples and he thought, I know that guy. He looks familiar. I think I used to go fishing with him, or I used to bug him all the time when he would come over, you know, little boys will do. And so I thought, I was thinking about that, and as they were going along, he began to tag along with them. And as we go into this story, just kind of keep that in your mind as we look at what's going on here, this little lad being right there with Jesus and the disciples. I kind of imagine him hanging around right near them, where he could see and hear all that's going on. And so as Jesus went up and he lifted up his eyes and saw the great company come unto him, in verse number 5, if you read the corresponding books in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and especially we can look at just Luke chapter 9, verse 13, you don't have to turn there, but there Jesus, Luke gives the account and says that Jesus says, give them to eat. Not only does Jesus ask the question, how are we going to buy bread that these may eat? But he already told the disciples, give them something to eat. Jesus was concerned about the multitude. And I was looking at that thinking, you know, our hearts need to be that way. Sometimes we get going so steady in today's society, it's so fast paced and go, go, go. Even as a missionary, we seem like we're constantly going. And sometimes we lose focus on the multitude of people around us. We don't lift up our eyes as Jesus did and see the multitude out there. And yes, he wanted to give them physical food, but we need to focus on giving them spiritual food, if I can say it that way. And say that we need to keep our eyes open for those that are spiritually hungry for the Word of God. Those that are seeking to know God and to know Him as their personal Savior. And Jesus, he lifted up and he says, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And in a sense, he also says, give them something to eat. And when I thought about that, when I was reading these verses and reading these chapters, I thought the Lord just began to work on my heart and saying, I want you to do that in Fiji. Well, here too, but that's what I want you to do in Fiji. Give them the Word of God. Tell them about me. Explain me to them so that they can learn about me and be spiritually fed. So as Jesus began to see the need here, he also not only began to see the need for the people to eat physically, but I think he saw a need for the disciples to learn. He saw a need for the disciples to learn. Look at verse number 6. He said, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. He already knew what was going to happen. He already knew how it was going to play out. But he wanted to see with the disciples how they were going to respond to it. Part of our deputation, we drove out to Montana. Where's my brother there that lived in South Dakota? And so we drove through South Dakota, and if you ever drive through South Dakota, you will begin to realize that it's just you and God because there's nobody else out there. That place is barren. I don't know how you live there. But we were driving back from our meetings out there, and we were coming back, and we were over in Nashville, near Nashville, Tennessee, and our transmission went out. It started to go out in our Suburban. We were pulling a small camper with us, and we were coming back through there. And we got to a junction point. We had a meeting there in Pikeville, Tennessee. And I already contacted the church and told them, I don't know if we're going to make it. My transmission's acting up. We may not make it. And we got to a crossing point, and I was praying, asking, Lord, do you want us to go home? Do you want us to go to the meeting? What do you want me to do? And the Lord said, go to the meeting. And so we turned, we went down the road to the meeting. We went to the meeting, went to the service that night, and preached, And then we got up the next morning and pulled our camper back home and got up our mountain and got home. And I took it to my transmission guy, and he took it apart. He called me the next week and told me it was done. And he says, "I don't know how you made it home." And it was a great chance I got to witness to him again. But he says, "I don't understand how you made it home. That transmission, there's no way that thing should have pulled." And I was reading this verse. It was after all that had happened. I was reading that verse, and I thought, I wonder if God broke that transmission just to see if I would go home or if I would keep going on the route I needed to go. And I was thinking, you know, sometimes things happen, difficulties happen, and we see a need to reach people, and then God makes it a little difficult just to see what we're going to do. Are we going to stick to Him? Are we going to follow after Him to go through the hardship to reach people for Christ? Or are we going to say, you know what, this isn't my problem, I'm going to go home. And I thought about that so many times. If I had turned and said, you know what, I'm just going to go home, which that turning point was the middle of Nashville in the rain, which is when those things happen. If I had turned and went home, if that transmission would have went out right then. I don't want to go back and find out, but I've often wondered if that's what would have happened. If God was just proving to see where my heart was really at. And so we see that Jesus saw a need for not only the people to eat, but He saw a need for the disciples to learn, to draw closer to Him. And so as you go down through this event and as things are going on, Philip comes up to Him and says, you know, 200 penny worth of bread is not enough that they can have just a little bit. And so we see this lad and we see the disciples' response to what Jesus had said. We see Philip's response. He says that there's not enough of money that we can do it. And he says it's an impossible task. He sees it as an impossible task. The disciples see the multitude and see this need to reach people here. And they see the negative side of it. As so many times we'll do if we're not careful. They say it's impossible. I look at Fiji and God says, I want you to go and reach these outer islands of Fiji. And I go, God, there's 110 of those. There's 108 if you don't count the big main two islands. I said, there's 108 of those. I said, that's impossible. I can't do that when I first think about it. But then as I read through this and I was reading through that and I thought, you know what, it's not impossible with God. The Bible tells us with God all things are possible. So we can look at it and we can be like Philip here and say, there's just no way. It doesn't matter what we do. There's no way we can do it. We don't have enough funds to do this. There's no way, God, that we can do it. They forgot who Jesus was. And as you go down, you see Andrew's response to it. He says he doesn't think it's impossible because he brings this little lad up that we mentioned before who has some food, but he thinks it's improbable. He doesn't think that it possibly won't happen. There's a little bit of food here, but how's this going to feed all these people? It's just not, it's not a possibility. It's not probably, it's probably not going to happen, but here's an opportunity. And sometimes we'll get that way and say, well, I'll give it my best shot, God, but that's all I can do. It's probably not going to happen, and we don't really see what God can do through it. We don't say, you know what, God said go, God said I want you to do this, then God's going to take care of it, and He's going to make it through, and it probably will happen. If God wants it to happen, it's going to happen. And so Andrew doesn't quite see the whole picture, but he gets a little closer. And Jesus here in verse number 10, He says, make the men sit down. And so they all sat down. And then Jesus in verse number 11 says, He took the loaves and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples. I would have loved to have been right there when that happened. And I often wondered if He gave it to Philip first because he was the one that really doubted that anything could take place because of it. And as he's standing there, and I can imagine they bring the lad up, and here he is with the 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And I think about my own life and thinking, you know, it's not much to reach a multitude of people in Fiji and even here in this area. It's not, my life isn't much account compared to everybody. And being able to reach this area or the world for Christ. But here you go, Lord. If you need it, here's my life. Take it, use it how you want to. And this little lad, if you see here, I don't think Jesus walked over and took it from him. That's not really a characteristic of God. But I think Jesus asked for it. Asked the lad, can I have your lunch? And the boy gave it over to him. And he doesn't give over half of it. Or say, well, I'm going to keep back one fish and one piece of bread for myself so that I can eat later. and I'll give you the rest and you can do what you want with it. But he gave it all to him. I said, here you go, Lord. You use what I have. You take it and you use it however you see fit. And I can imagine being that little boy standing there watching as Jesus prayed and he broke the bread and he gave it. And I kind of think he gave it to Philip first and gave him some fish. And Philip turned around, walked away and walked over to the first guy and said, here's some, but, you know, kind of be easy on it. We don't have a whole lot and I don't see this going very far. And as he turns around, Jesus is still breaking the fish and the bread, and he's still giving it out to the other 11 disciples. And they're going out and they do this and feed all these people. And you can imagine being there and being that little lad seeing that and being the disciples watching it and learning and going, wow, God can really do this. Things are happening. This is exciting. Things are really going on. I think about the Bible Project over there. And as the Word of God was given out over there, and there was hardships and trials, and things didn't go as planned, and all those things were going on, and yet it still took place. And even now they're working on another project in Papua New Guinea where they're doing 2.1 million Bibles in that country. And I was thinking about this as Jesus was breaking it, and I thought about the Fiji Bible Project. It was 220,000 Bibles, and now it's multiplied to 2 million Bibles plus going into another country. And I just kind of see this whole thing happening over there with Bibles instead of bread and fish. But I can kind of see it all in my mind's eye of all this going on and thinking, I want to be a part of that. And thinking as the disciples were watching it going, I want to be a part of this. This is neat. This is awesome. Getting to watch God do these things and being able to see this in real time. And as the lad standing there thinking, wow, he's doing all that with what I gave, and that's not a whole lot. And one day I pray I can look back on my life and go, wow, God, I don't know how you use my life to do that, all that for you, to bring glory and honor to you. And in our own lives, I look at this and I want to take it and say, you know what? We need to see the necessity as this lad did, the necessity that he saw. He saw the necessity to trust God with everything he had. He didn't hold back with what he wanted to keep. He didn't keep what he thought he could use. And then we need to see the necessity to give Jesus what he asked us. So many times God will ask us to do something and we'll say, well, that wasn't in my plans, or I don't want to do that, or I don't see how that's going to work out. But we just need to give it over to him, as this lad does. And I want my life to be like this little lad, just so simple. Just when Jesus says, give it, when Jesus says, I want you to do this and do that, just to do it. It sounds so simple, I know, but yet it's so hard for us to do. Almost 32 years old, but yet when every time I read this passage and think about this, it's new to me to get my carnal flesh to turn over that, because we don't want to. We want to hang on to. We don't look at people the way God does. We don't look at people and say, you know what? I'm only here so that others can know about Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for, is to reach others for Christ. We have to have a heart for people. We have to have a heart for souls. Every time I watch that video, every time I watch it, and I've watched it a lot, I see people, all those teenagers, all those kids getting those Bibles and think, I want to go talk to each and every one of them. I want to go see if they've read their Bible, if they've accepted Christ as their Savior. I want to go see them. I want to go to those little islands that nobody got to go to. The Bibles went, but nobody got to go to. I want to go there. I want to go see them. And we're trying our hardest to train ourselves so that we can physically go to these places. I'm not a mariner. I didn't get to go out on boats in the oceans. I don't know much about that. But when I get over there, I want to learn so I can go over there, so I can reach these people for Christ. And some people have asked me, aren't you scared? And it's a little bit. Sure, it's a little scary, but you know what? You put that aside and say, that's what God wants me to do, and I go do it. I see the necessity of going out and reaching people for Christ. Because if we don't, they're going to spend eternity in hell. Just as we sang tonight, and we are so thankful to be saved, but there's a lot of people in the world who aren't. There's a lot of people in Fiji that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and that's our goal and our burden, to go out and reach these people for Christ. Just as simple as Jesus seeing the need for these people to be fed physically, we need to see the need to see people get saved spiritually. And so as we finish up looking at this passage, we see here that as he finished giving out and giving the loaves out, and the disciples distributed them all out. And it says in verse 12 that when they were filled, he said to the disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." And in the thought process of my mind, that was a miracle in itself that they were completely full, to eat until they were completely full. And then Jesus says to gather up the fragments that remain. God doesn't waste anything. When we give it over to God, He doesn't waste what we give Him. So many times you can look back, I almost guarantee you can look back and think about it, and think of things that God has given you that you should have gave to Him, and you didn't do it, and it got wasted. But when we give it over to God, nothing's wasted. We know that the Bible's in Fiji, the Bible's going to Papua New Guinea, those things, all those things going on over in the South Pacific, that's not wasted. God's using it. He's going to use it to reach those people for Christ. We know it won't be wasted because Jesus doesn't waste things. He says nothing be lost. And they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments in verse 13 of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. There was so much left over. And I thought about this little lad, and we were talking about him earlier, probably going out fishing for the day to gather food, and he gave his lunch over. And don't get me wrong and think, well, he's going to just preach a prosperity. If you give to God, He's going to overflow you and give back to you and all. I'm not preaching all that stuff. But we do see here that God, there's leftovers from what the lad gave. And I've never found in the Scripture where it tells us what happened to him. And I've talked to some other preachers and different people about it, and we have some different ideas, and it's all it is an idea. But I've often wondered if that little lad didn't get to take that stuff home with him. And you know, he gave what God asked him to, and God gave him something in return and said, "Here, use this to bless your family with." And as I've thought about it, as the little lad took it home, And he got home to his mom with 12 baskets of food. And I think they were big baskets, but that's just me. And as he went home with them, and he walked in the house and he gave them over to his mom. And his mom's asking where he got all this, because all he's supposed to do is go fishing down at the Sea of Galilee. And he gets back with them, and she's trying to figure out what to do with it all, because it's more than they can eat. So they start giving it over to their neighbors, and they feed them. And she's asking him, how did you get this? And so he begins to tell about what Jesus did up on the mountain, and the neighbors are there getting it, and they're listening to him talk. And I got to thinking about the many times when we go out, we'll talk to somebody about Jesus Christ. You may go door knocking, and you talk to somebody, and you knock on the door, and somebody comes to the door, and you talk to them, and they don't really respond in a positive way. They don't really care that you're there. They don't want anything to do with God and church, and they're saved, and all those things they tell you. And you walk away and you wonder when they shut the door what the conversation is inside the house when you leave. And that's just kind of a parallel to what's going on here in my mind, is that this lad comes home with this food and he begins to explain Jesus even more to more people. And it keeps going and going and going. When we give God what He asks us to, when we do what God wants us to do, it just doesn't stop. It keeps going. While we were there on our survey trip in Fiji, we had the opportunity to go to a lady's house, one of the missionaries there on the main island was telling us about. And she was there, and her grandson lived in the house with them, and he had gotten a Bible at school. He had taken the Bible and put it up on his dresser. When he got home, he forgot to take it to school one day with him, and he had left it on his dresser. And so she had gotten it down when she was cleaning, and she didn't really recognize it, so she started looking through it, and she read it. And she realized what it was, and then in the front of it, you saw they stamped the closest Baptist church there in the front of it. And so she called the missionary from the number there, and she's been going to church. She wasn't saved at the time we were there. She may have gotten saved since, but she had been going to church there. And I thought about that. Here's this little lad in Fiji got a Bible, and he took it home and left it on his dresser. And I don't think it was left there by accident. God had him leave it there. And his grandma picked it up and read it and started realizing her need. And I got thinking, who knows, all these other Bibles that went out, who knows who else got affected by these Bibles going out. And yet there's so much more going on over there that I want to get over there and go everywhere and talk to everybody. I have that desire to go. I can't do it by myself, but I want to go over and do it. and find out what's been going on. Kind of as this event goes on, and if we can say this little lad went home, I want to find out about all the neighbors that heard about it. Can you imagine some of these schools? If you saw, remember in the video, they were Muslim schools and Hindu schools that they went into and gave the gospel message out to Muslims. Standing there, Muslim teachers teaching the Quran and all these other things, and they had to stand there and listen to the gospel message being given to them and the students, and then they were all given Bibles. Can you imagine the conversations in the classrooms afterwards? The conversations when these kids went home. What happened today at school? Oh, we had this guy come and he talked about Jesus. Oh, really? He gave us this book, Mom. And got to sit down and read it. And I think about all these things as it just expands out. All because, if we could say it this way, all because the lad gave his lunch. Because we gave over what God wants us to give over to reach people for Christ. We don't know what effect that has on people. We'll never know until eternity what effect that has had on people. And so tonight as we close up with the thought of, you know, just as this little lad gave over his lunch, you know, maybe God's asking you to give over something so that you can be effective in reaching people for Christ. And you think, well, I don't know what else I can give. Well, God can tell you. God can lead you in that. I don't know your life. I don't know you. That's between you and God. I thought to myself 3 years ago when God called us to go to Fiji, before that, I was working as an assistant pastor at a church, working with the teenagers and leading singing and thought and giving to missions and thought, well, what else can I give to God? I thought I was done giving. I didn't know there was anything else I could give. I knew about missions. I grew up in it, but going to the mission field was the farthest thing from my mind. And I thought, well, what else is there for me to give? I'm serving God. I'm doing all these things. And then God says, I want you to go to Fiji. And I said, but God... And we had a little conversation, and I said, yes, sir. But we have to get to this point just as simple as this little boy here giving over his lunch and saying, yes, Lord, here you go. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word and here in John chapter number 6. It isn't a deep passage. It isn't really a profound passage. It's a simple event that you tell us about in your word. But yet, as we see through here, we see your heart for people. You not only wanted to see those people physically fed, but you were trying to reach them. You were trying to teach the disciples some things. And here was a little lad who simply gave over what you asked him to give. And yet it can touch our hearts in such a special way that we need to be more like this little lad and learn from him just to simply give over to you what you ask us to give so that others can be reached. Other people's lives can be touched by you. And I pray, Lord, tonight that as the invitation comes, as Pastor comes, that if there's anyone here tonight, Lord, that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, never accepted you as Lord, I pray, Lord, that they'll come forward tonight. And if there's someone here tonight who maybe doesn't want to give over something, that you just touch their heart in a special way and they'll see the need and get a heart for people, Lord, to see people reach for you. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Yeah. Come right.